Last Sunday in our gospel, we heard that our Lord's sharing in our humanity meant that he too, like us, suffered temptation. Obviously, we know St. Paul is always quick to say that though he was like us in all things, it was all things but sin. That as God, he cannot share our sin because sin cannot exist with his holiness. But in every other way, he shares our humanity. He shares with us every other reality of our earthly existence. He does this in order to transform us as a share in his transfiguration, of which we hear in today's gospel. Our Lord's divine nature, that which is his because he is God, is united in his person, our human nature, that which is ours because we are creature. And because of that union, that hypostatic union of our human nature to his divine nature in that one person, Jesus Christ, his divine nature now is our gift, so that our human natures can be raised up, can be glorified, can be changed completely by his holiness. The marvelous gift, the marvelous reality of our Christian life is that we can share more and more through God's grace in Christ's glory, in the glory that belongs to the God the Father, until one day, as we are continuously drawn into him, we will behold him face to face as we enter into that beatific vision. That is the promise of immortality which Christ gives to those who are his disciples. That is the meaning of our lives, the reason why we exist, to be loved by God to such an incredible extent that our very life becomes a participation in his life. Our life becomes what he is. And St. John tells us what he is, that God is love, that our life becomes an overflowing of love. Absolutely amazing. We know this to be true by faith. But nevertheless, sometimes we can ignore or forget about or somehow doubt this reality, knowing that we are called by love to be love. We sometimes ask the Lord, Lord, send me a sign. Show me how I'm supposed to be love to the world. Lord, send me a sign. Show me how I'm supposed to live my life. Let me know my vocation more clearly. Sometimes I speak to so many people who are like, I just wish God would tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. Maybe they want something more practical than what I've just said. Maybe they want the nuts and bolts explicitly put down. Do left, go left, turn left when you're supposed to, when I say, turn right when I say, jump 3 feet in the air and then turn. No, I don't know. But nevertheless, people say they want a sign. And we see such an incredible sign in today's gospel that Jesus gave to Peter and James and to his brother John, that he is revealed to them as God, full of brightness, full of his divinity, shining forth through his humanity to such an extent that it changed their lives forever. Peter later on reflects on this and he shares his experience in his epistles. God himself spoke from the cloud, this is my beloved Son. And the disciples heard the voice of God. Everything is all at once bright, blindingly clear. They have what all of us want, right? And yet we look, what is their reaction? They prostrate themselves before God. Okay, we can understand that. And it says, they were very much afraid. Why should they be afraid? Why should we, as we join them in that moment of the Transfiguration, as we live it ourselves through this liturgy, why are we afraid? I think it's partly because we like to fill our minds, fill our lives, fill our days with chit-chat. I'm certainly one of the most guilty of this. Father Saunders will tell you. I love to just talk, 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 talk. Maybe you guys have noticed. I don't know. Maybe it's we like to use all these words because we want to show other people how smart we are. or how awesome we are, how cool we are, how hip we are, how in the know we are. Perhaps it's because we're afraid that we would be bored in silence, that we would be bored if we were to not use our cell phones, if we were to not have an earpiece listening to music in our ear, if we were to not be playing a video game, we would be afraid that we would be bored with life. I think it's because we are afraid that we'd be bored, but I think it's also because we're constantly trying to distract ourselves, drugging ourselves, trying to always maybe overcome the fear that when the noise dies down, we won't like what we see inside. That we'd have to face our demons. We'd have to face our temptations. We'd have to face our plain old sinfulness. And unlike Jesus, who went out into the desert, out into the silence, and faced the demons and triumphed, we're afraid to go face the demons. And we're afraid that we may not triumph. Maybe we're afraid that God doesn't exist. That underneath all of our prayer life, underneath our devotional life of coming to Mass on Sundays, maybe underneath all the noise and all the busyness, all the distractions, maybe we're afraid that it's not really real. Or maybe we're afraid that He is real. That God really is in the world. And therefore every single thing that we do in life matters. Maybe we're afraid that if we turn and face Him, we would have to change our lives. And maybe that's why the disciples were cowering before the blinding light. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. And they thought back to not too long ago when Jesus had told them, I am going to have to go to Jerusalem and I am going to have to go there to suffer and to die. And they said, I don't want to listen to that. I'm scared of going to Jerusalem. I'm scared of going to suffer. I'm scared of dying. So they cowered in fear. Maybe they didn't really want to change. Maybe part of them were saying, Lord, we've given You everything, but You're going to make our life really good, right? And then they'd heard Jesus say, the Son of Man must go and suffer. And they became afraid that maybe it was all too true. Think about how inconvenient the transfiguration was. How put out maybe those three disciples might have been. They'd been spent a long day traveling with the Lord, taking care of the crowds of people. They were tired, and they were looking forward to maybe eating a little supper with the other disciples, a little jokes, a little chit-chat, maybe sitting down before the TV and drinking a couple beers, and then heading to sleep. And they didn't want to be climbing any mountains, or running around in the dark, or listening to voices coming from the clouds. In fact, I wonder how would all of us feel if the transfiguration were to take place right this very moment? If out of this bright light, the voice of God were to speak to us right in this very moment. This, in the Eucharist, is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. And we were all blinded by the light of God revealed in the fullness of His divinity. How inconvenient would that be for us? That we'd have to completely change our lives. Perhaps some of us feel like we've got church pretty much figured out. We know what's what, and we know that the light shooting through the roof would ruin all of that. We'd have to stop judging the people we like to judge. We'd have to stop arguing about the things we like to argue about. We'd have to stop going back to our normal day of life. We'd have to have a reaction to the fullness of God's divinity revealed before us, calling us to listen to His Son, calling us to respond. To change, to convert, to give Him our hearts. Perhaps we would have no other response than that which the disciples have, to fell prostrate, to be silenced, and to perhaps be a little afraid. And yet Jesus does not leave them in that situation. When they raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone, and He says, Rise, do not be afraid. Why? Because He is calling them just as God called Abram in the first reading. God in the first reading calls Abram and He says, You will be a blessing. All the nations of the earth will find blessing in you. And he's doing the same to each and every one of us. In this Mass, when we come forward to receive Holy Communion, or even if we're not able to come forward to receive Holy Communion because of our situation, in this Mass, as we are able to adore our Lord, truly present in the Eucharist, to give Him our hearts and to receive His grace, we then, almost immediately, are told by the priest, go forth. The Mass is ended. Go forth. To do what? To glorify the lives. To glorify the Lord by our lives. To go forth to share the good news. To go forth to be a blessing to all the nations. So we should pause and ask ourselves, how am I a blessing to the other people in my life? How is God blessing other people through me? Or how is He asking me to be a blessing to other people? How does God want me to be a blessing? How can I stop being selfish and start cooperating with His movement, His control, so that I can be that blessing? How is He asking me to not lay down, but to rather climb up the mountain to do what is hard, so that I can be a blessing to other people? One of the beautiful things that we see in Abram is his obedience to God. God says, go. And the next line is, he went. We have that same opportunity tonight to go forth from this church, strengthened by God's grace, to live a different life, a holy life. Because as St. Paul told us in the second reading, He saved us and called us to a holy life. That is His design. That is the grace that is bestowed on us in Christ Jesus. And so St. Paul says to his beloved, he says to you and I, bear your share of the hardship for the gospel. It's the same words of Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. Or if we could use a paraphrase from the first reading, begin to be a blessing to others. Let God bless others through you, that you can be a conduit of His mercy, of His goodness. Perhaps we are afraid of what this would mean, of how we must change. But in this liturgy, in this Mass, have the encounter with Christ that the disciples had on that mountain, and let Him say to you, rise up, do not be afraid. My brothers and sisters, there is no need for fear when we allow God's love to penetrate our hearts. For in the Transfiguration, we see that God is all-powerful. Make that act of faith. Give Him that first place in your life. And let Him transform your life to be a blessing to others.